So I told you when this came up on the calendar, Steve Coleman had to be tapped to come and do some things today. And one of the reasons it was important for me to for Steve to be here is because for the first part of my tenure here at East Haven, Steve was kind of my rock. He was kind of my babysitter. Right? Yeah. But through it all, he was my friend. And he talked to me, and he loved me, and he coached me, and he counseled me. And I got to thinking about it. I'm like, dude, Steve's been here from time immemorial. There have been several preachers here at East Haven. The longest tenured is Buford Cain, and Buford retired in 1981. Steve was with Buford for several years before Buford retired. And then came Michael Collins, and then came Bruce Prescott, and then came me. And Steve was through it all. And it doesn't matter who was pastor at the time. Steve was their wise counsel, their sounding board, sometimes their babysitter. And so I thought it'd be great for Steve to come up and talk about some of the fun stuff, but also talk about some of the vision that some of the pastors of the past have had. So Steve, bring your wealth of experience to us and share with us some of the things that you've done over the years. And when he said his was 30 years, that was how long he served on staff. You've actually been here since birth, haven't you? 61? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Long time.
Long time.
Yeah. Glad to have you.
Oh, my pleasure. Except when I asked him this morning how much time did I have, he said, oh, 6 or 7 minutes. He took 6 or 7 minutes to get me up here. Come on, man. All right. First off, thank you. Absolutely. The honor of looking back on this was just a trip. I mean, I'll write a book. Every one of these guys was uniquely different and completely different. We had the 29 years. We have Kevin at 15 plus. Prescott was 10 plus. Mike Collins was 3 years. But then we had Ray Mayfield twice as interims and B.J. Martin once as an interim. So as you go through all these guys, think about how that the church has changed. How many of you were here with Buford? See, there's still a lot of people here from Buford Cain's day. That's fabulous, because that's what a family does. A family that sticks together. So Buford came in 52. I came back into the church in 1978. He was my immediate mentor, my father in the spirit, and he took me back in out of the world and loved me back into Christ. This is going to be really hard. All right, hold on. And he just smothered me with acceptance. Now, my hair was longer than this, and the hair was blonde and the beard was black, but I still have them. But in 1978, they just took me. They just enveloped me into their arms, and he loved me. But I only had him from 78 to 81. And when he left, it was, you know, it was hard. But then Ray Mayfield came, and Ray was a dude. Ray was a twice all-star football player, once at A&M and once at SMU, is that right? And the war separated those two. So he was the only guy that did that. So he was an athlete, a big guy. He had an amazing dry sense of humor. He was a lot like BJ, and he had a sermon, and you can set your watch by it when he starts and when it's going to end. Okay? He had a saying. This was Ray's style. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Then I'm going to tell you. Then I'm tell you what I told you. And that's exactly the way Ray preached. He was a great preacher. We had him 2 times. But he was complete. And now Buford was the absolute, complete, total hands-on pastor. The things they did, the vision that he had, they built that little church up into, they were Sagemont before Sagemont. They had the school. They had the big church. They had all kinds of things going. So when I came back in on dedication day of their when they built their big sanctuary, and I came back in that day. That church was robust and going. And I would be completely remiss if I didn't talk about the music just for just a second, listening to that song. There were five pastors and two interims, but there were hundreds of singers and players. And we had solos and quartets and duets and trios and small groups and large groups and choirs and pageants and plays. I mean, that church was the deal when I walked back into it. And so I just immersed myself into him. And then Ray came, and that was a kind of a, my first period to learn how the church really works. Because Buford was how the church worked then. And he gave me a little peek behind the curtain. But in that short gap with Ray Mayfield, the deacons had to take over, and the ladies of the church had to take over, and things had to still get done. And it did. And I was just playing at that time, and so everything was great for that. And then they hired, anybody know where we got Mike Collins from? Well, I know that's where he's from, but how did we get to Mike Collins? Who was on the search committee for Mike? Anybody?
My daddy.
This guy was from Wales. That's a long way from Texas. And he'd been 5 years in Brazil before he came to us. And he came with two foreign languages, Portuguese and the King's English. Because a schedule means nothing to me. And what in the world is a mosquito? But Mike and Helen, Hazel came, and they were a jewel. I was head open and ready to be filled, and Mike was the guy. He was the Pauline pastor that has surpassed anybody I have ever seen that preached Paul. He was amazing. The problem was he couldn't stand still and he couldn't slow down. And when he got going fast enough, he would go into Portuguese. And then he knew he was going too fast.
And his dentures would fly out.
Do what?
His dentures would fly out.
Oh. He was a... Well, and he had... This was way before wireless microphones and stuff. So he had a mic cord about 40 or 50 feet long. Well, by the time he paced up and down the stage for 30 minutes, it was about 6 feet long. And he could only stand right here. So when church was over, I gave it to Taryn, and she would go to the end of the and get all the knots out of it and bring it back up. So, Brother Mike was a lot of things, but he wasn't a real fit for East Haven. And his tenure was short, but I was sorry to see him go because he was just such a blessing to me. It was during his short term that the guy that was our worship leader at that time resigned on a Sunday morning. And after he told Mike, he came and told me. He said, I just resigned, and so I just let you know. So I left him and went to talk to Mike, and I said, look, I don't know what y'all are going to do. I'll do it until you get somebody. Well, that took a while. I finally had to quit. They just never would tell me what they were going to do. So after 30 years, I said, okay, y'all go get somebody. What else can I do? So Mike Collins left. Ray Mayfield came back. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you what I told you. Ray Mayfield. Anybody remember the hominy story? Yeah, that was, well, this guy had some stories that were just priceless. His dad was a circuit preacher, and they were at the mercy of wherever they went. And so they had that. Then came Dr. Bruce Prescott, who was on that search committee. Anybody on that pastor search committee? Now, Dan, I know you were a deacon for all. You were with Buford, right? Yeah. So he's been through more than I've been through. So if I make any big mistakes in facts here, please be my fact check. But we got Bruce, and we went from this Welchman to a PhD. I didn't even really know what a PhD was, but we got us one. And he was a very soft-spoken guy. I called him, he was an academic activist. And I think that's an accurate description of Bruce. Soft-spoken, easy, gentle way. He was a cop. Worked his way through his doctorate as a cop. And I never could figure out how he did that. I couldn't even see him with a gun. No way. But He told me stories about running guys down, tackling bad guys, and doing all that. I thought, okay. So he had a rather long run, but during that time, the neighborhood had begun to change around us. Things were beginning to really be a little on the wane, and unfortunately his activism was a problem. That was the time, if those of you that are old enough to remember, when the Baptists would go to their conventions and fight each other and point fingers and call names, and the TV cameras were there, and you got old seeing your church get a bloody nose on the TV every week. And it divided East Haven. We had pink envelopes and white envelopes for where you wanted your money to go, this way or that way, and have all that stuff. And so that was hard. Now, I learned a lot from that. I learned a lot from Bruce. He was a smart man. He really was more of a teacher, but he was good at what he did. But what I learned was that this flock was just as my flock as it was his flock. I had a completely separate responsibility. But when he was doing what he was doing, it was my job that when he came in on Sunday morning to gather the people together and try to get one spirit in the room. And God taught me so many things about that. Now, I stood shoulder to shoulder with him because he was my pastor. I didn't agree with his politics, but I didn't badmouth him. I stood with him. And so God teaches us through the trials. So then Bruce left in October of 97. B.J. Martin came. Now there was the godsend. East Haven was in absolute crisis. We were running less than 100 on Sunday morning. When I got there, they were running 800 or something. It was a big church. And B.J. was a lot like Ray. He had one little funny anecdote and an 18-minute sermon, and buddy, you could set your watch by it. And he was there, but this guy had experience. Buford was old enough to be my father. BJ was old enough to be my grandfather. And I was way older than I was when I met Buford, so BJ was pretty old. But I came to understand, we had already begun talking about we needed to move because the neighborhood was not our neighborhood anymore. And people were just not coming back. And so we talked about that. And BJ came and said, you can do one of two things. You can get up, sell this church and move, or you can write Ichabod on the door and close it because this church is dead. He instituted an Andrew team. How many of you are on Andrew teams? Lots of us were on Andrew teams. And we pumped that hard 2 years. And the return just told us what we needed to know. Right there wasn't where we were supposed to be. So we made the decision to move. So I always think about BJ as our Moses. He told us, you've been walking around the mountain long enough, it's time to go. And we voted to sell the church. Now, what pastor would walk into that deal? You got a church running less than 100 on Sunday morning. You got a school that the school was already gone. It couldn't sustain itself. The church couldn't sustain it. And who would do that? You just didn't know any better, did you?
I did not.
He did not know any better. But bless his heart, he had enough courage or enough naivete,
there you go,
whatever it was, that he said, sure, I'll do that. And I looked at him and went, oh my. Yeah. But he's quite a guy, our pastor is. And I came to understand that he was our Joshua. God gave us a Moses and God gave us a Joshua to follow that Moses. And he's right. He and I have been through some stuff. We had lunch with an angel. We did. That is not a joke. That's real. You believe that? I do. We had lunch.
Often.
And long. We set a standard, I think, for lunch. But we did a lot of good work. And Kevin is, I think, if I had to say, he's still pretty consistent that getting the community in these doors is the focus, is the vision. We want our church to look like our community. And our community has every race and every type of person and everything you can imagine. And we want them to be welcome. I love the picture in the paper. Did y'all see the South Belt leader, the picture on the front? He had a white pastor, Hispanic deacon, and a little black boy being baptized. That's what our community looks like. And so Kevin came. We sold the church. We were in the dentist's office for about 2 years building this place and then moved into here. Right about in there under the stage and into this slab is Earl Neal's Bible. Earl Neal was a founding member, and the first their wedding was the first wedding in East Haven Baptist Church. And his Bible is under him every time he preaches. So of all the guys that fill that pulpit, I wanted to ask you today, what do you think about when you think about, not your pastor, but a pastor? What do you think about when you think about a pastor? Shepherd, right?
Devoted.
Always on call. Now, I know you guys think about your pastor, so y'all got to have something. Godly.
I'm a tense person.
We've had some and not some. But, huh?
A leader.
Right. He does have to be a leader. But do you, when you think about our pastor or any other pastor that you, some of you guys have been under, all those same pastors, do you think about how holy they are or how human they are? And do you think about their successes or their failures? Because every one of these guys is no different than you are, except that they were called to the hardest job in the world, to pastor a flock and live with all of that entails. So when you think about a pastor or your pastor, remember that he's just you with a special. If you think about your sins, just remember that he has to do the same thing. And then he has to stand here and be God's man with that burden. So never fail to remember your pastor and love your pastor. Because he's a good guy. And he was all those things y'all said. And he is my friend. And I love him. Thank you.
It's interesting to listen to somebody who's been with all of them talk about all of them, or most of them talk about them. Because when you boil it all down, it's just kind of a motley crew, right? The most unlikely candidates on the planet. And I have enjoyed my almost 16 years here. There have been ups and there have been downs. But God has been good through it all. And I appreciate Steve's perspective on some of the historical things and some of the ways things have worked out. I'm going to ask Leanne Dean to come and sing for us now. Leanne, you've been around about what, 18 months?
About 1 year.
All right. I chalk it up to credit. I'll give you some credit there. And I didn't introduce Jim Nelson. Jim's the drummer. And you've been here, what, 7 or 8 years, Jim? 10? Wow. All right. Long time. So, yeah. But let me say something about the musicians, all of them. They are some of the best that East Haven has to offer because they are here week in and week out. They are here on Thursday nights. They are here for Maximum Impact Weekend. They do double duty on days like today. Mike Laird, our lead guitar player, can't be here today, but takes commitment and courage to do what they do. Leanne's a new part of that team, and she's going to sing for you. She's going to sing for the Lord, but you're going to get to enjoy it. So thank you, Leanne, for what you do, for being here.
nation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saints, let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.